Good morning. Today's daf in Megillah's Yud Zayin. We're on Tet Zayin Amud Beis, and we're starting La'idu Ma'aser V'Simcha. It is a little bit more than halfway down in the Amud. The Gemara now continues with this drashas of the Megillah. We're going to be finishing today the first parak of the Masechta. We're going to be finishing the Gemara's drashas regarding the Megillah. We are now towards the end of the Megillah, meaning not to confuse the Masechta and the Megillah. So we're towards the end of the Megillah. We're here in the eighth parak of the Megillah. Popular pasuk, it's incorporated into the Havdalah, and right now Haman has already been hanged, and the gzera has already been abolished, and now so it's time to not only celebrate, but also there are other benefits that came to the Jewish people, and so the pasuk goes on to describe La'yehuda ma'isa or v'simcha v'sasim v'kar. So we had a lot of things. So what are those things that we had? So I'm Rav Yehuda, Ora is Torah. So an Ora is a reference to Torah, Shenamar. Sorry, I made up words. So Ora is a reference to Torah, V'chein Huomer, Kiner Mitzvah V'Sora Ora. Okay, so we have a pasuk connecting Torah and Ora. And Simcha is Yom Tov. So we also had Yom Tov as well. So V'chein Huomer, V'samach B'chagecha. Okay, now it's not totally clear, meaning that we had the Yontav before the Gzera as well. So what does it mean that we got Simcha, i.e. we got Yontav afterwards? So admittedly, that part's a little bit clear, but the maybe Purim itself is viewed as a Yontav. We know originally it was meant to be a Yontav, regardless. Sus and Zumila, we were unencumbered, and we could do the mitzvah of Mila now freely. V'chenu Amr, Sasanoch, Elim Rasecha. So again, a connection with the Pasuk of Sason and the mitzvah of Mila. So Im Rasecha over here is a reference to the mitzvah of Mila. The Gemara in Shabbos makes that connection a little bit clearer. And Vikar Elu Tfilin and the honor and the glory of Vechinu Amar Veruchol Ameharitz Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha V'yaru Mi Mecca. And the idea that together associated with the wearing of the tefillin, so there's going to be a certain awe that we have. V'tanya Rabbi Elazar Gadol Omer Elu Tfilin Shabarosh. It's a reference to the tefillin, but specifically the tefillin Shabarosh, which is much more visible, the Ace Parshandasa, Asaras B'nei Haman. So we are now moving to the ninth parak of the Megillah, and in the ninth parak of the Megillah, so the hanging of the sons of Haman. Amrev Ado Demin Yafo, Asaras B'nei Haman Asere V'Aseres. So when saying over the Megillah, and you're saying over the 10 sons of Haman, together with the word Aseres, so Tzarech Lememrenu B'Neshim Achas, you have to say it in one breath, meaning you're not allowed to make a hefsek between them. So my time to kula ba'ada da'ada de'nafku nishmasai, because they all died together. In other words, they were all hung together. They all died together. I'm Rav Yochanan Vavde Vaizasa Tzarech Lemimtecha Bizikifa. So when writing the Vav of the word Vaizasa, so it has to be extended. It has to be elongated. Kimoradya. So like the ship, like the mast of a ship. De Livros. So the and the whole reason why, so that you're able to, in other words, what's the purpose of the mast of the ship, so that they could see and distance themselves from any rocks, so that the ship doesn't sink. So my time is, so again, so why the vav has to be elongated? The kula b'chazikifa is dakifu, because when the Bnei Haman were hung, they were hung all together in basically one single row. So that extended vav is merames to the idea that they are going to be all hung together. I'm Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa Darsh Rabbi Shil Ish Kfar Tamrasa Kol Shiros. Anytime you have a shira coming up anywhere in Tanakh, Kula Nichtavu Ariach Agabe Levena Levena Agabe Ariach. So in terms of writing it out, it's going to be in a more poetic style. It's not going to be written in prose, and it's basically going to be looking like bricks, staggered bricks. So so if you've seen Az Yashir written in the Torah, so you know exactly what we're making reference to. Chutz Mishira Zu, with notable exception to this shira, meaning the interesting how the Gemara over here describes the hanging of the 10 sons of Haman. So that's also a shira. Okay, so that is not done it's done in columns. In other words, it's not written in prose. It's written in a more poetic form, but it's not going to be staggered, but rather it's going to be columns. Chutz Mishirazu, and also Malki Kanan, also the shira of Malki Kanan. Okay, I will give everyone a pass for not knowing what is the shira of Malki Kanan. All right, I had to look it up also. So it's the 12th parak of Yoshua. So in the 12th parak of Yoshua, also, there's a shira to the downfall of the Malchi Canaan, And so that also is not going to be staggered, but rather it's going to be in columns. Ariach agabe ariach, ulevena agabe levena. Okay, and so basically what you're going to do is you're going to put that in rows. So my time shalotei tkuma lama palasam. So that means to say, because if it were staggered, meaning if you're laying it like you normally lay bricks, which is in a staggered manner, so that's obviously going to be supportive and it'll be strong. And so when we are talking about the downfall of the Rishayim, we don't want to be supportive. We don't want to be strong. We want to, quote unquote, build it in a manner where you can easily knock it down. And that, of course, would be to just simply build it in columns. So the king says to Esther HaMalkah in Shushan, so you know the Jews killed 500. And basically, what Ahasuerus says to Esther is, now what do you want? And we know that the story goes on where Esther says, I'd like another day. Now, obviously, we weren't there, so we don't know the tone. But the Gemara's understanding right now is that Ahasuerus's tone is not a pleasant tone. Meaning, right, it's a common theme, and we've been hitting this theme time and again. Haman is obviously an anti-Semite, but Ahasuerus also is as well. Right, just yesterday, we pointed to the fact that when Esther pointed, like, who wants to destroy the Jewish people, so her original pointing of her finger went towards Ahasuerus. Okay, so it's been a common theme that Ahasuerus also, just not as outwardly antagonistic, but certainly was not a fan of the Jewish people. So now, when the report comes in that in Shushan they killed 500, and now Esther wants to go ahead and just be given one more day to attack all the enemies in Shushan, so the tone over here of Ahasuerus is not a friendly tone. And so that'll help us understand the upcoming Gemara. So, Vayomra Melch Esther Amakabi Shushani Biraha Gura Yudim. Okay, and then it goes on to describe. And Amar Rabbi Abba Malame Deshaba Malach Vesitra Apiv. And so now, as Ahasuerus' tone totally changes, so the Malach comes and gives Ahasuerus a slap right across the face. Basically saying, like, in other words, watch your tone. Okay, Uvevo Lifne Amelch Amar Im Hasefer. And the pasuk goes on to describe. This is, by the way, we're already in the ninth parak of the Megillah. Right? I told you, as we get towards the end, we're going to be making a couple of stops at the end of the Megillah, but the Gemara is not going to be darshaning with the same consistency that we darshan in the first half of the Megillah. Anyway, so we're here in the ninth parak of the Megillah, and she approaches the king, meaning Esther, of course, and Amari Masefer, and the pasuk goes on to describe Yeshuv Machshavaso Ra Asher Chashav Al Yudim Al Rosho. So Amar Amra Mibayale. So she approaches the king. So the next word, considering the fact that she's a speaker, should not be Amar, but rather Amra. So that, of course, is confusing. So Amra B'Yochanan, we'll take out the next two words. Rashi tells us to take out the next two words. Ye'amer b'peh mashikaz b'sefer. Meaning that you have to read mitoch ha-megillah. So it's not enough to just simply say over the story, but you have to read it from the sefer. Okay, and now we are at the end of the ninth parak of the Megillah. And Divrei Shalom Ve'Emes. So the Megillah ends on the word Shalom Ve'Emes. So Amar Abtanchan Va'amrila Amar Rabbi Asi Malamit Tzricha Sirtut Kamita Shel Torah. Okay, so just like the Torah itself, when you're writing a Sefer Torah, so there's a halach L'Moshe Mi'Sinai that you have to etch out lines and you have to be writing it on the lines. So aside from the fact that it's neat and organized and so forth and so on, but on top of that, it's also halacha. So the Gemara says that just like you do that regarding a Sefer Torah, you do that regarding a Megillah as well. Uma Amar Esther Kiyam. Here, the end of the ninth parak of the Megillah. This is now Pasuk Lamed Beis. So Uma Amar Esther Kiyam. So Ma'amar Esther in Divrei Tzemach. So the Gemara says, wait one second. So what exactly are we saying over? We're saying over the episode regarding Esther, but not Divrei Tzemach. But what about all the things that that led up to it, notably the fasting that they did. Meaning, how much of the story are we to go over? So, I'm Rav Yochanan, Divrei Hatzamos, Umamar Esther, Kiyam Divrei HaPurim Ha'ilah. So, when going over the story, so the way you should put the psukim together is that the Tzamos, together with Mamar Esther, right, Esther's approaching of the king, all that, so Kiyam Divrei HaPurim Ha'ilah. So, all that results in the Yontif of Purim. And now we are on the last pasuk of the Megillah, right? The 10th parak of the Megillah, which is only three pasukim. So here we're in the third pasuk of the 10th parak, i.e. the last pasuk of the Megillah. So it says that Mordechai now, who takes a position where he's Mishnah LaMelech, he's second to the king, And so now he's accepted, but by the majority of the Jewish people. And so now you could have said the word larov just before we get to the Gemara's interpretation. Larov just simply means to the vast majority of the to the vastness of the population. Meaning rov could just simply mean abundance. That's one way to interpret it. But the Gemara over here does not understand it that way. The Gemara clearly understands it over here to be a function of majority. And that is, l'rav achav v'lo l'chol achav v'lamed, shepir shu mimenu mixas ha-sanhedrin. So what happened was is that when Mordechai now takes a political position, so not everyone in the Sanhedrin was happy with him. Some of them left him. Okay, what happens when you go into politics is that you become a little more controversial. Okay, nothing's changed in, now we'll say, the last 2,500 years. Right? That's what happens. And so the Sanhedrin, some of the members of the Sanhedrin, so they distance themselves from Mordechai, encrypted into the Megillah with the word Rov, the majority. Amar Rav Yosef Gadol Talmud Torah Yoser Me'atzal Nefasha. So the importance of Talmud Torah. So for the remainder of the Perek, meaning from this point all the way to the very end of the Perek, which is, coming up later today, so all of it's going to be talking about the significance of Talmud Torah. Now, Talmud Torah is greater than Hatzalos Nefashos. Now, obviously, right, that needs to be put into context because obviously Hatzalos Nefashos is really important, right? Hatzalos Nefashos is going to be overriding any of the any and almost all the averis in the Torah, right? There are a couple of averis where Hatzalos Nefashos will not be overriding, but short of that. In other words, we know the value of Hatzalos Nefashos. We know the value of Achai Behem, right? The Gemara never understates it. So when the Gemara says that Talmud Torah is greater than, so it has to be understood within a certain context. We're just simply highlighting how important Talmud Torah is, but not to say that if it's a choice between Talmud Torah saving somebody's life, so venture a guess that saving somebody's life is going to override Talmud Torah, right? So you see somebody drowning. Oh, but right now I'm engaged in the study of Torah. Okay, not this time, right? In other words, that's an absurdity. So over here, it's just talking about the general value of Talmud Torah, but not to say that you're going to be choosing one over the other, especially not when we're talking about Tzalos Nefashos. And in the course of the Gemara, I think this point will bear out a little bit clearer. So I'm Rav Yosef Gadol, Talmud Torah Yosef, Tzalos Nefashos, because basically we're going to be looking at Mordechai's placement where he ranked, meaning we know that Mordechai was a member of the Sanhedrin, and we also know that there were basic rankings that were done. So in the beginning he ranked after four and Uvelasov Basar Chamisha, and then you see that when he took political position, so now what happens is that he dropped in the rankings. So mei karaksiv. So over here in Sefer Ezra, Asher ba'u im Zerubbabel, Yeshua, Nehemiah, Seraya, Re'elaya, Mordechai Bilshan. So now, so he is after four, meaning what we would call the fifth slot. And Ula v'sov ksiv. And now we're going to go to Sefer Nehemiah, Habayim im Zerubbabel, Yeshua, Nehemiah, Azariah, Re'amiah, Nehemiah, Mordechai Bilshan. And now he's placed after five, meaning he's now in the sixth slot. Okay, so he dropped out in ranking. And the Gemara is assuming over here that the reason why he dropped in ranking is because originally he was just all about Torah, and so therefore he was higher in ranking, and now that he got a little bit into politics and he's Mishnah LaMelech, so now he dropped in ranking. Okay. Amra v'itema Rav Shmuel bar Marta gadol Talmud Torah Yosef mi'binyan beis hamikdash. Okay, so once again, Torah goes above Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Again, just it's the highlighting of the significance and the value of studying Torah. She calls man she baruch ben Neriah kayam lo nichu Ezra ve'Allah. So the Gemara here makes the point really succinctly, and that is as follows. Ezra did not go to Eretz Yisrael right away. Koresh allowed the Jewish people to go to Eretz Yisrael. So some did. Ezra did not. Now, obviously, we associate Ezra with Ole Bavel, meaning he's one of the people who left Bavel to go back to Eretz Yisrael and to build. That part, of course, is true. But what we're learning right now is that he didn't go right away. Why? Because his Rebbe lived in Bavel. And so he had the opportunity to learn Torah with his Rebbe. The alternative was to go back to Eretz Yisrael to build the Beis HaMikdash. So he elected to stay and learn Torah rather than to build the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, and Rashi over here, I encourage you to take a look inside. Rashi goes through the numbers in terms of how long he stayed in Bavel. But right now, the Gemara's point is very simple. He stayed. In other words, he stayed because he had the opportunity to learn Torah, and so that's what he did. Obviously, some follow-up questions, which I don't know the answer to. So, Baruch Meneria, the Rebbe, so how come he didn't go to Eretz Yisrael? Meaning, okay, so you have to stay because your Rebbe's staying, so why don't you take your Rebbe with you? Okay, I don't have a good answer for that, but... Okay, all right. Oh, and I'm sure there are answers. In other words, I'm not, right, I'm sure there are explanations. I just don't have one readily available. But anyway, but the point is, however, is that he went with Torah over that of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Yisrael Bar Shmuel, Bar Marta, Gadol Talmud Torah, Yosem, Mikibat Ava Eim. Okay, so let's do this now one more time. And that is how important Talmud Torah is. It goes above and it goes above and over that of Kibat Ava Eim. And again, by the way, the Gemara over here is not necessarily talking about where a choice needs to be made, although the halacha is very clear. I believe it's Bav Metzia, okay? But in other words, if your parents tell you to do something that's connected to Torah, so then obviously you follow the Torah, not your parents. But that's not the point that we're making over here. Once again, we're just talking about a general value system of how to weigh mitzvahs one against the other, and Talmud Torah goes above that of Kibra V'Eim. And the Gemara now is going to make its case. Now, this is not going to be short, meaning this is now going to take us through the end of the Perek in order to make a singular point. In fact, I'll tell you what the point is right now, and then we're going to see the Gemara basically go through all the details. And that is, so Yaakov left his parents. He left them for a really long time. Okay, it's going to come out that he left them for 22 plus 14, 36. So he left them for a total of 36 years. And meanwhile, in terms, and that's a long time of not doing the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Eim. Now, I know they told them to leave. I'm aware of that. But anyway, but they didn't tell them to leave for 36 years. So the, and meanwhile, so Yaakov is now going to get punished for those years. He's only punished for 22 of those 36 years. Okay. And I'm just, by the way, this is going to be the Gemara's point. It's just going to take the Gemara a while to make this point. I'm just making it right now really succinctly. And the reason why he's not punished for 14 of those years is because for those 14 years, he was learning in the Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever. Okay, we all know it. It's Rashi and Chumash. It's the Gemara and Megillah on Daf Yud Zayin, meaning today's Daf. So that's the entire point of the Gemara. So in other words, so he forfeited Kibud Av V'Eim, but if it's forfeiting Kibud Av V'Eim for Limud HaTorah, that's okay. If it's forfeiting Kibud Av V'Eim for other reasons, and by the way, those other reasons are pretty good. In other words, those other reasons were he wanted to get married. But in other words, but for that, it's a failure in the midst of Kibud Av V'Eim, and Yaakov had to pay for that.
It was a sakana for him too. His brother was going to kill him.
Okay, all good arguments. I'm saying over the Gemara. That's going to be the basic point of the Gemara. Meaning he did have to leave, and his parents told him to leave. So it's just the Gemara over here is challenging the duration in which he left. Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Gadol Talmud Torah Yosem Mikibud Av V'Eim Shekol Osan Hashanim Shaya Yaakov Avinu BeBeis Aver Lo Nenash. For the years that he was in Beis Aver, so he was not punished. Amar Mar. And so here we go. So now everything's going to be in the details. And so the Gemara is just basically now going to go through the details of how we know all the numbers that I just threw out, so the Gemara now is going to be going through them in some detail. Lama Nimnu, we are on the very top of Yuzayin Amad Alf. We are the first words of Yuzayin Amad Alf. Lama Nimnu Shnosav Shay Yishmael. So the years of Yishmael are enumerated Kedelayachis Behem Shnosav Shay Yaakov. So basically what's going to happen now is that the years of Yishmael are going to be serving as a benchmark, meaning we're going to be able to use the years of Yishmael, the life of Yishmael, to tell us about other people's lives and when they lived relative to Yishmael. So, the Gemara goes on to explain. So Yishmael lived for a total of 137. Now, how much older was Yishmael over that of Yitzchak? So, Arbe Seishnin. So he was 14 years older. So then Yitzchak. Because we know that Avram was 86 when he gave birth to Yishmael. And we know that Avram was 100 when he gave birth to Yitzchak. So from 86 to 100 is 14. So basically, we know that Yishmael is 14 years older than Yitzchak. Good. Now, Uksiv Yitzchak ben Shishim Shana, but let us know some. So we also know that Yitzchak was 60 years of age when he gave birth to the twins, Yaakov and Esav. So Bar Kama Hav Yishmael Gide Yisrael Ev Yaakov, Bar Shivim Varba. Now, how old was Yishmael? Uncle Yishmael. How old was he at the birth? So he was 74. Again, because he was 14 years older. Now, Kama Paishan Mishnei. Now, how much are we left over in terms of the years of Yishmael? So Shesim V'Tla, so 63 years left. In other words, because we know he lived for a total of 137. So Tanya, Haya Yaakov Avinu B'Shashin Isbarach Me'aviv Ben Shishim V'Shal Shana. So how old was Yaakov when he ran away from his family? Right, had to run away, but how old was he? He was 63 years of age. Ubo Baperik Meis Yishmael. And it was at that time that Yishmael died. Dichsiv. Now, how do I know that? Because it says, Vayar Esav, Ki Veirach. So we know that when Esav saw that Yaakov ran away, Vayelech Esav El Yishmael. So now Esav goes to Yishmael, Vikachas Machlas Bas Yishmael, Achostim Vayos. And what he does is he marries one of the daughters of Yishmael. Esav marries the daughters of Yishmael. And Mimashma Shenemar Bas Yishmael, Eni Odeh Shi Achostim Vayos. Now, she's the daughter of Yishmael. Obviously, she's going to be the sister of Nevayos. So, Malamit Shekishu Yishmael Umeis V'Yisiu Nevayos Achia. So it means as follows. It's at that point in time that the Torah is telling us that she is the sister of Nevayos because he was the one who performed the Kiddushin. Meaning, he was Mekadosh's sister. Why? Because it was at that point in time that Yishmael died. Okay, now, what we have just done now is collected a bunch of years together, so we now know that when Yaakov leaves Esav, so Yaakov himself is 63 years of age, right? Yeah. So he's 63 years of age. We also know that at that point in time that Esav married the daughter of Yishmael. We also know that it was at that point in time that Yishmael died. And we also know how old Yishmael was in terms of his total years. And we know how old he was at the birth of the twins. So now the Gemara says, now put all that together. So now, Shishan Uslas and Arbesar. So now it's 63 years that Yaakov now was at, that's the age of Yaakov at the time of the Brachos. And add to that another 14 years in which he learned by the Yeshiva Eshem Ve'Ever, Adem Esyalad Yosef, Sahashim and Veshiva. So now that brings me to a total of 77 years. Uksiv Yosef ben Shloshim Shana ba'amdo lefnei Paro. Now we know that Yosef is 30 years when he's in front of Paro. So in other words, you're going to be adding another 30 on top of that. So ha me'a v'sheva. So now that gets me to 107, meaning that's the age of Yaakov when Yosef now is in front of Paro, 107 years of age. So shev de shiva v'tarta de kafna. Now what you're going to do is you're going to be adding another 9 more years, 7 years of plenty, 2 years of famine, so hamei v'shitzar. So now that means we're expecting Yaakov to be 117 years of age. And the 116 years of age. And ksiv, ayomar paro, Yaakov kama yimei shenei chayecha, vayomar Yaakov paro yimei shenei megurai shloshim umei shana. And now we expect him to be 116. Meanwhile, the question is asked, Nu, how old are you? And he says, I'm 130. So, me'a v'shitzar havya. Now, what we were expecting was 116. So, elosh ma'mina, arbas reishnin, hava b'vei sever. So, in other words, those 14 years that he was in the yeshiva of Aver, so, lo chashiv lahu, so they're just simply not counted towards that particular count, meaning they're not in the count. Detanya Yaakov b'vei sever, mutman, arbas reishana. Because we know that when Yaakov left his parents, so he spent 14 years in the yeshiva. So Aver. So the Meis la'achas Yahu Yaakov Avinu la'aram na'arayim shtei shanim. So the Yatsa Misham uvalo la'aram na'arayim nimsa kishamad al habe'er ben shivim v'sheva shanim. So that means to say that he was 63 when he left his parents, 14 years in the yeshiva. So he's 77 years by the well. Okay, yes.
If the Torah was not given, what is he learning in the yeshiva?
Huh? Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in the Sefer, Emes Yaakov. So he has a comment that the general limud over there was, first of all, you have Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, and on top of that also, it's basically how to strategies in terms of how to live in a world of idolatry. But 14 years, though, it seems a lot. In other words, they didn't have the Gemara, they didn't have the, but whatever. Obviously, they had what to learn over there, and I guess Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach also took their time. There is a Ramban that says that when in terms of the section of dinim, meaning of the one of the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, so you have dinim. So the Rambam writes that the dinim is only on the other six mitzvahs. Okay, but the Ramban writes, he disagrees. He says that the dinim is going on basically all choshem mishpat. So that is already a good chunk of Torah, meaning basically all the monetary law that's included and incorporated in dinim. Okay. Yeah, right. Okay, a separate question, right? I quoted a Gur Aryeh. Gur Aryeh gave five different answers to that question. Okay, anyway, so uminalan delomi anesh. So the Gemara wants to know now. So basically, what we just put together is the following. So there were basically 14 years in Yaakov's life. We went through the entire his entire lifespan, well, not his entire one, but basically we highlighted different markers within his life, including the moment in which he stood in front of Paro, where he expected him to be 116 years of age. And meanwhile, he announces that he was 130 years of age. So that now we know that there were 14 years of his life in which basically it was like almost like existed independent of the rest of his life, where he's not held accountable for those years. We've also just established that those are the years in which he learned the Yeshiva Shem Ve'Aver. So now with all that stated, so the Gemara says, how do I know? I don't know that he wasn't punished for those years. So the Gemara says to Tanya, Nimtza Yosef, Shapir Shmeaviv, Esmushtaim Shana. Because we know that Yosef left Yaakov for a total of 22 years. So Kishem Shapir Yaakov, Avinu Meaviv. So, and it's Mida Keneged Mida. Meaning Yaakov left his parents, Yitzchak and Rivka, for 22 years. And so now, as an onish for that, so he's going to lose his son, right? This is a perfect Mida Keneged Mida. He's going to lose his son for 22 years. Now, on that, you can ask the following question. So Yaakov, Tasim V'shisan Havyan. So as far as Yaakov is concerned, so what do you mean he left his parents for 22 years? So it was 36 years. So Elar, Besar, Da'avah, B'vesev, V'lo Chashav Lahu. So for those years that he was learning, Lo Chashav Lahu. And that all goes back to our point where, that Gadol Talmud Torah, Mi Kibud Avayim. Okay, so that's how we arrived at that conclusion. So, let's just finish up the perek over here. So, Beis Lavan Esrim Ishnin Havyan. So the Gemara says, wait one second. You're telling me that Yaakov left his family for 22 years, meaning it's really 36. But what we're going to do is we're going to knock out 14 of those years in which he was learning Torah. So, but the Gemara says, yeah, but now you're saying 22. The Gemara says, I'm looking at the Pesukim. I don't see 22. So I see 20. So so Elam Ishum Dishtai Be'orcha Tartin Shnin. By the way, the Gemara assumes it's 20 because 7 years he worked for Rachel, another 7 years he worked for Leah, right? I know, flip it around, but whatever. Yeah, right, you know how that story went. So that's 14 plus another 6 years in which he worked in order to make his, to aggregate his wealth. So that's 20 years. So now the Gemara now wants to know, so how come we're saying it's 22? So the Gemara says, Elam Mishum Dishtai Be'orcha Tartin Shnin, on his way home, so he delayed for 2 years. Detanya for that we have a brisa. So yatsa me'aram na'arayim uba lo l'sukos v'asar sham shmona asar chodesh. So 18 years he was in sukkah. Shenamar v'yakov nasa sukosa v'yiven lo bayis ulemikneu asar sukos. The and right Rashi over here goes through the psukim themselves are not clear that it's a total of 18 months. See Rashi over here who basically from the pasuk and from the seasons understands that it was a total of 18 months. And Ube Beisel Asa Shisha Chadashim, and in Beisel, another 6 more months. He, Vehikr Zvachim, he built a Mizbech over there in Beisel. And again, see Rashi for a little more clarification of how we know that it was 6 months to 18 months, plus another 6 months. Good. So that gets us now to a total of 2 additional years in which it took the time to get from Aram Naharaim, i.e., with Lavan, back home to his parents. Anyway, 22 years. The Gemara says, I know the Pesukim say 20. I'm telling you it's 22. We have a Mesorah that it's 22. Okay, Adkan. Okay, so in 3 successive points, the Gemara pointed out that Torah is greater than Torah is greater than Hatzalas Nefashos. Again, you can't say that out of context. You have to say it in context. Torah is greater than Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Okay, again, you have to also say that in context. That we learned from Ezra. And Torah is greater than Kibbutz Av Va'Em. Okay, right? Those are three really big statements. But the Gemara says that's how we ended off the first paragraph of the Masechta. And obviously, the Torah is greater than Hatzalas Nefashos is connected to the Megillah, because once Mordechai left the full-time study of Talmud Torah and entered into the arena of politics. But the Gemara says politics over here, meaning that he has sway with the king and he could really be saving Jewish lives. But in that regard, right, Torah is even greater. And the Gemara noted that Mordechai slipped in his rankings as a result of that. Anyway, what comes out over here is Talmud Torah is really significant. Greater than Hatzalas Nefashos, greater than Kibbutz Av Va'Em, greater than, let me go in order, greater than Hatzalas Nefashos, greater than Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and greater than Kibbutz Av Va'Em. Okay, three really big statements. Hajalach Megillah Nikreis, that's the end of the first parak of the Masechta, and now Parak Beis. In the second parak of the Masechta, so what we're going to be discussing and describing is the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. And the first parak we dealt with basically with one question, and that's when. When do I read the Megillah? Okay, I know, right? That's we just covered 17 blot to answer the question of when. But the Mishnayos and the Gemara itself went on a lot of tangents. Meaning the if you recall in the first parak, when asked the question, what happens when I have two Adars, when do I read the Megillah? Because again, the whole first parak is basically when. When do I read the Megillah? So the Mishnah said, well, if it's two Adars, what do I do? Right? This year is gonna be two Adars, what do I do? What do we do? So we know what we do. We read on Adar Beis, but that's what the Mishnah told us. Ein bein Adar Aleph, Adar Beis, Ela, Kriyas HaMegillah. That was the Mishnah. And then from there, the Mishnah is launched into a long tangent of other Ein Beins. I think 13 in total. Then the Gemara said, okay, now that we did that, the Gemara also darshan the entire Megillah. Right? Picked its spots, but darshan the entire Megillah. So with all that, that was the totality of the first parak of the Masechta. Now we start the second parak of the Masechta. So now, after establishing when we read the Megillah, so how do we read the Megillah? Good. That's our Mishnah. That's the second parak. Hakorei is the Megillah l'mafreya lo yatsa. So you can't read the Megillah out of order. Right? L'mafreya could be understood backwards, but backwards over here in this context means just simply out of order. Meaning instead of starting in the first parak, I'll start in the fifth parak. I like the beginning of the sixth parak. But Laila who? Okay, so you can't do that. In other words, you have to read the Megillah sequentially. Karapa, kara targum, becholoshon lo yatsa. If you read it by heart, meaning if you're not reading it from a sefer, or kara targum, or if you're reading the targum of the Megillah, or becholoshon or any language for that matter, lo yatsa, if you not fulfilled your obligation, ava karan oso lo loazis belaz. However, if somebody is not speaking Hebrew and you read the Megillah to them in their language, so then you're going to be yotze. The Gemara is going to spend time later discussing exactly what the scenario is over there. Now, if you're loways, meaning you're not speaking Hebrew, you're speaking some other language, but you hear it ba'ashuris, you hear it in the Hebrew language, so you're yotzei. Gemara is going to be discussing that also in more detail, meaning you're not understanding the Megillah, but meanwhile you fulfilled your obligation of Mikra Megillah. Yes, and the Gemara is going to explain that better also. Kara sirugim, if let's say you read with pauses, in other words, you took little breaks in the middle. So umis na name. Or let's say you took little snoozes in the middle of the Megillah. So yatsa, you fulfilled your obligation. Again, the Gemara is going to explain that, all these things in more detail. Haya kosva dorsha umagia. So let's say you're writing the Megillah. You're expounding in the Megillah. You're proofreading the Megillah. Im kivan libo yatsa v'im lav yatsa. So with kavanah you're yotze, without kavanah you're not yotze. And yes, of course, the Gemara is going to have the discussion. Does that mean mitzvahs require kavanah? Okay. This is very similar to the discussion we had back in Rosh Hashanah, where the Gemara over there also talks about where you are playing around with the shofar, and are you yotze? So the Mishnah over there in Rosh Hashanah, not so long ago, we just read, it's the end of the third parak of Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah said, no, you're not yotze. In other words, you need kavana. So our Mishnah also would clearly indicate that you need kavana. Although, as you can imagine, the Gemara is going to discuss whether or not mitzvah srichos kavana. That's coming up. If the Megillah is written with different types of ink, meaning the non-standard ink, we'll just leave it at that. The Gemara is going to explain in detail what all these types of inks are, or if it's written on niyar or diftera, meaning not klaf, So lo yatsa, you haven't fulfilled your obligation. I should take suva shuris ala sefer uvidyo. So it has to be written in Hebrew on cloth, and it has to be written with the permanent ink that you normally use for writing on cloth. Okay. A lot of halachas were just rattled off in the Mishnah, and so what we're going to be doing is discussing every one of these halachas in more detail. That's normally what we do with the Gemara. So we start with the Gemara's discussion, Menahani Mili. The first halacha of Limafreya, the Megillah has to be read in order. So the Gemara discusses Menahani Mili. How do I know that? Now, Menahani Mili is a funny question considering the fact that the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah is a mitzvah de Rabbanan. So what are we going to be citing? So the answer is very simple. We're going to be citing a pasuk in the Megillah that's going to give us instructions of how to read the Megillah. So Amar Rav Adam Akra Kich Savam V'chizmanam Azmanam L'mafrei Lo Af Savam L'mafrei Lo. So you know how time works? Now, of course, I don't know how time works, but I do. But I will make some simple observations, and that is time moves forward. In other words, time is unidirectional. It's not bidirectional. So I can only go forward in terms of time, so the same thing is going to be true regarding the ksav of the Megillah as well, that it has to be written in order. So the Gemara says, Mide kriya ksiva, hacha asiya ksiva. So the Gemara says, wait one second, wait, slow down. Meaning we're learning the halacha regarding kriya, that when I read the Megillah, it has to be read in order and not out of order. Okay, fine. It's true. Kich savam uchiz manam tells me that the writing of the Megillah has to be in order, but we're not talking about the writing of the Megillah right now. We're talking about the reading of the Megillah. So the Gemara says, "Dichsiv lios osim ashnei yemei ma'ela." So the ela mehacha. So the Gemara says, "Fine." So dichsiv ayamei ma'ela nizkarim v'naasim. So the Gemara says, "You're absolutely right." But we also have another pasuk of the Megillah. These days are nizkarim v'naasim. So itkish zechira la'asiya. So here's the source, says the Gemara, and that is ma'asiya l'mafrei lo. Now, in terms of the asiya, meaning in terms of the performance of the mitzvah sayom, so 14 comes before 15. Again, that's just how the calendar always is going to work. So af zechira. So when mentioning it, meaning when reading the Megillah, so l'mafrei lo cannot be done out of order. Meaning you have to be reading it sequentially. Okay, so that's the pasuk in the Megillah that tells us that when reading the Megillah, it has to be read sequentially. I understand. It's also logical. Meaning, aside from that, it's also logical as well. But what the Gemara is assuming, however, is that, look, I ended up reading it all. I just changed the order around. Okay, Bidya, I understand. It's not, right? It's not the way to tell a story, but maybe as far as the mitzvah is concerned, so you get a check for the mitzvah. That would be the consideration. And now what the Gemara is telling us, the Mishnah and the Gemara just told us, is that no. In other words, you don't even get a check. It's nothing. Okay, Mimizrach Shemesh, sorry, I skipped a line, Tana. So, Megillah has to be read in its correct order. The Gemara says, I'll give you three other areas of halacha where this is also going to be the case as well. One, halal, two, kriyashma, and three is tefillah. So, in addition to the Megillah, so these three things also have to be read in order as well. And so, what the Gemara now is going to do for the rest of today's daf is it's going to teach us, how do I know that? So let's start with halal. Halal minalan. So when reading halal, it has to be read in order. So Rabbi Amar Dichsim Mizrach Shemesh Ad Mavo'o. Well, you know the sun starts in the east and goes in the west, and it's one directional. So too the halal also has to be one directional. Meaning that's a pasuk in halal, but the Gemara is using it to describe the mitzvah of halal. Rav Yosef Amar Zeh Yom Asa Hashem, and once again, Yom is a reference to the day, and again, it's one directional. So Rav Avya Amar Yehi Shem Hashem Avarach Me'ata V'Ad Olam. Okay, and again, the idea is that it goes in one direction. Rav Nachman Yitzchak V'Temer Rav Acher Yaakov Amar Me'ach Me'ata V'Ad Olam. Sorry, Rav Avya is learning it from Yehi Shem Hashem Mevorach. Sorry, and the way Rashi understands it, the He is Kehav Yaso. As is, meaning you have to be saying over halal as is. And then me'atavi ad olam, that's the next idea. From here to later, meaning one directional. Okay, so an assortment of psukim that teach us that halal has to be written kibiz seder, or kis seder, in its correct order. And we're up to kriyashma. Kriyashma, detanyi v'lent and abraisa kriyashma, kich sava, divi rebbi. So how do you say kriyashma over? So according to Rebbe, kich sava, when you read the Kriyashma, it has to be done in Hebrew. No other language. And the Chachamim said it could be read in any language. Now, in a moment, I hope you're wondering right now, right? Isn't the Gemara trying to prove that Kriyat Shema has to be read in order? Meaning this is an important machlokas, but this is not what we're discussing. We're discussing whether or not things have to be read in order. Megillah has to be read in order. Halah has to be read in order. Now we're saying the same thing regarding Kriyat Shema. It has to be read in order. Language. What does this have to do with order? This is an issue of language, not order. So let's, in other words, just let's be patient. I'm just pointing out right now, this is not what we're really looking for. So so my time with the Rebbe, I'm across. So as far as the reason of Rebbe is concerned, what's the basis of Shita's Rebbe? Rebbe says that it has to be read in Lashna Kodesh. So V'hayu be'avyasan yehei. Because it's one of the psukim in Shema, it says Vayu. So, and Behaviyasan Yehaya has to be as is, meaning the only way to perform the mitzvah of Shema is to read it in its original, in Hebrew. So, V'rabban Maitama, Makra, Shema, Becholoshan Shata Shomeo. And as far as the Chachamim are concerned, Shema tells me that when the way you normally hear, that's the way you're going to say it. Meaning, if you don't normally speak Hebrew, if you normally speak another language, so you could say the Shema in that language. So, V'rebi Nami Haksiv Shema. And so now the back and forth, the classic back and forth of the Gemara. What does each Tana do with the other's pasuk? So as far as Rabbi's concerned, it also says the word Shema Hu Mi Baile, He Shamel as Nechama Shatamotse Mi Picha. So just is talking about the volume. In other words, when you're saying the words, you have to be saying it loud enough so that you hear it. Now, as far as the Chachamim are concerned, they disagree with that halacha. As long as you articulate the words, even though your sound is really low, you can't even hear yourself, but you are actually mouthing the words, that would be sufficient. Now, according to the Chachamim, it says vayu, as is, meaning, and they say that it can be written in any language. What do they do with the pasuk vayu? So, here we are. So from the word value, so that comes to tell me that Shema cannot be written out, cannot be read out of order. You must read it in order. That's what I do with the pasuk value, and that's this is the point we wanted to get to, meaning highlight this point of the Gemara. So shalei kara lemafreya, very Rabbi shalei kara lemafreya minale. So midvarim ha devarim. So Rabbi agrees that the Shema cannot be read out of order. But it's based on the extra hay of hadivarim. Now, as far as the Chachamim are concerned, they don't think that that hay is eligible for a drasha, and so therefore that's why they use verhayu. Rebbe and the Chachamim disagree in terms of the language, and they disagree in terms of the volume, but they agree in terms of the sequence, that it has to be read in order. It's just a question of how to arrive at that point. But anyway, that's why the Gemara brought in over here. Now, when you're saying other parts of the Torah, so according to Rebbe, it could be done b'choloshen. Because Rebbe has a special drasha that when you're saying Shema, it has to be done b'choloshen HaKodesh. So when I'm saying other parts of the Torah, it could be done b'choloshen. Okay, now, simple question right now. When am I saying other parts of the Torah? When is there a mitzvah to say other parts of the Torah? So you'll say leining. I like that. You'll say Parsha Zachar. I like that as well. So Rashi writes over here, the Bechol Lashon, no, not that Rashi, sorry. It's so funny, I had the Rashi, and now I lost it. Shalei Kara Lemafreya. No. What just happened? Okay. Look at Tosfos. Okay, sorry. The Tosfos kol atara bechol lashon emra. Pirish akuntrus shenatna likros bechol lashon shirotz likros b'sefer Torah. V'kasha shayar kriyas atara eina min atara elamid rabbanan levad mi parshat zachor dahavid araisa. So Tosfos quotes Rashi. I'm struggling to find the Rashi right now. But anyway, Tosfos quotes Rashi. Rashi says leining. Meaning, when do we have a mitzvah to say the Torah? So Rashi says it's leining. So Tosfos points out, leining is not a mitzvah in the Torah. Okay? In other words, the Chachamim instituted that we're going to be reading the Parsha every week. But that's not a mitzvah in the Torah. And over here, we're darshaning. So if we're darshaning, it sounds like we're talking about mitzvahs in the Torah. Now, Tosfos says there is Parsha Zachor, which Tosfos over here writes it's a mitzvah in the Torah. We saw that earlier as well. There was a comment by the Rush as well. Okay, that parsha zachar is a mitzvah in the Torah. Anyway, so the Havidah writes of Venera, the Hachi Perusha. Tosos writes over here that when is there a mitzvah to say over the Torah? Called Kriya Shabbat Torah Kagon. Mitzvahs Chalitza, Parshas Egla Rufa, Vidue Meiser, Bikurim. Okay, so there are a number of occasions where there's a reading part to the Torah. So for example, I'll just go over the first example of Tosfos, and that is Chalitza. So when doing the mitzvah of Chalitza, right, I've never seen one in my lifetime, but I've heard of them being done. So when doing the mitzvah of Chalitza, so there's a reading portion, right? Kacha Yeaseh, right. I probably confused the Megillah pasuk and the Chalitza portion. Anyway, so now there's a mitzvah of Kriya, and that's the example in which now we're suggesting that according to Rebbe, since for Rebbe he has a special drasha that tells me that for Shema it has to be done B'Lashon HaKodesh, that means for all these other reading portions, it can be done B'Chol Lashon. Let's go back to the Gemara. So, Lemakos of Rebbe Kol HaTorah Kula B'Chol Lashon Nemra, Yisak Adach B'Lashon HaKodesh Nemra, Lama Lilamichta V'Hayu. Okay, so why does he have the special drasha V'Hayu? So, it's the the Gemara says, no. It could be that according to Rebbe, every speaking portion of the Torah, you has to be done B'Lashon HaKodesh. Meaning, if the Torah says, read here, so then you have to read it B'Lashon HaKodesh. What about there's a special drasha by Shema? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Shema ka Rabbanan. Because remember, what did the Chachamim say? Shema tells me that for Shema I can hear it in any language. And so Rebbe's aware of that. And to counterbalance that, that's why the Torah says the words value. So Kasav Rechman, value. Okay. Lema Kasav Rabbanan Kol HaTorah B'Lashon HaKadosh Nemra. Now we're going to go in the other direction. So now for the Shita of the Chachamim. He allows you to say Shema in any language. What is that telling me? And there's a drasha for that. That the default is that when any other time that there's a speaking portion of the Torah, you could do it b'chol lashon. So the Gemara says, "Isakadacha b'chol lashon emra lama lelemichtav Shema." It's the rechsalka datcha amina ve'ayu kerebi kasav rechman Hashema. So I might have thought that in other words, it could be that according to the Chachamim. So you have a requirement, Bechol HaTorah Kula, so it could very well be that it could be said Bechol Lashon. Why is there a special drasha that Shema you could say Bechol Lashon, when meanwhile that's the default? So the Gemara says, because I have the word value. And I could have understood that by Shema, value comes to tell me that Shema has to be said B'Lashon HaKodesh. Therefore, the Chachamim have to counter that with Shema. But the general default is that it could be said Bechol Lashon.
The Bnei Yaakov said Shema. From what they said.
Okay, that's true. But the discussion here is revolving around whether or not I have a choice, or at least b'dievik, can I say it in another language? That's the discussion of the Gemara over here. Okay, we're going to stop over here because now the next section of the Gemara is Shmona Esrei. Shmona Esrei also has to be said b'seder, and this is going to go well into tomorrow's daf. I know it's a lot. But in the assortment of Sukkim, that tell me that every one of the brachas of Shmona Esrei is specifically designed to be placed over there and not placed in any other section of Shmona Esrei. Okay, that's all coming up tomorrow. Meanwhile, let's quickly recap, let's review. We finish off the first parak of the Megillah at the end of the first parak of Masechta Megillah, in which we darshan a number of Sukkim in the last number of the Prakim of the Megillah. We started this morning with La'yun Ma'isa Or V'Simcha V'Sasim Vikar, and from there, a select number of Psukim. Then, at the end of the third, I'm sorry, at the end of the first Perek, so we talked about Talmud Torah being greater than, ready? Hatzal Stefashos, Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and Kibud Av Ve'Eim. Okay, those are really three big statements, and the Gemara proved each one of them. The last one took a lot of time for the Gemara to prove that Talmud Torah is greater than Kibud Av Ve'Eim. Because for 14 years that Yaakov learned in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever, so he was not punished. But for the other time that he was away, he was punished. Okay, so that's the basic point, and that got us to the end of the first parak. So the first parak of the Megillah succinctly summarized, when do I read the Megillah? Now, as we opened up this morning, the second parak of the Masechta, how do I read the Megillah? So the first halacha that we spent all of our time with is the first halacha mentioned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah went through an assortment of halachas, but we're really right now for the rest of today's daf focused on the first halacha, and that the Megillah cannot be read limafreya. It cannot be read out of order. The Gemara gave us a drasha of how we know that. Three other things cannot be read out of order. Halal, Kriya Shema, Tefillah. Halal, at the bottom of Yizayin Amid Aleph, had an assortment of drashas that told us that halal cannot be read out of order. As far as Shema is concerned, so the Chachamim and Rebbe argue about a couple aspects of Shema. What language can it be said in? Subject to a machlokas. How loud do you have to say it? Subject to a machlokas. But where they agree is that Shema has to be read bis seder. It has to be read in order. How do I know that? So they argue about what the drasha is, but they agree that it has to be read beseder. And finally, we did Hala, we did Shema, and we're up to Shmona Esrei. Shmona Esrei has to be said beseder. You can, when you're saying over the Shmona Esrei, you cannot flip around the brachas, read the bracha of Atachonin at a later point in Shmona Esrei. It must be the fourth bracha of Shmona Esrei. So how do I know that? That's where we're beginning tomorrow morning.